Blog Talk Radio.
Om Shabbat Shalom, Holy Way of the Most High. Om Shabbat Shalom, I sense your presence. Om Shabbat Shalom, Holy Way of the Most High. Om Shabbat Shalom, I sense your presence. And I am the light within your soul. In the essence of truth and right, love makes the circle whole. And here we stand in line, waiting for some sacred sign. But to find the balance is the purpose of this time. To restore the balance of the universal mind. And in the presence of my Lord of light and love, everything I see aspiring to be free. And when I call to thee and come on bended knee, surrender to the all-pervading light and love. Reflections of the one surrounding me with love. And I sense your presence. I sense your presence. I sense your presence. I sense your presence. Within and without, above and below, yeah. East, west, north and south, I sense your presence. Without and within, below and above, yeah, yeah. East, west, north and south, I sense your presence. I sense your presence. Presence of my Lord of light and love, everything I find in tune with the divine. And here we stand in line, waiting for some sacred sign. But to find the balance is the purpose of this time. Restore the balance of the universal mind. And I am the light within your soul. In the essence of truth and right, love makes the circle whole. And when I call to thee and come on bending knee, surrender to the all-pervading light and love. Reflections of the one surrounding me with love. For to find the balance is the purpose of this time. To restore the balance of the universal mind. I sense your presence. I sense your presence. I sense your presence. Om Shabbat Shalom, Holy Way of the Most High. Om Shabbat Shalom, I sense your presence. Om Shabbat Shalom, Holy Way of the Most High. Om Shabbat Shalom, I sense your presence. Om Shabbat Shalom, Holy Way of the Most High. Om Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom. I sense your presence. Om Shabbat Shalom, holy angel of the Most High. Om Shabbat Shalom, I sense your presence. I sense your presence.
Hi, this is Linda Diefenbach with your first inner transformation tip. Do you sometimes find yourself overwhelmed with all your responsibilities in your life? Practice getting present before and after each task or activity. As you complete each task, pause for a moment before starting the next task. Take a few deep breaths and connect with your body and energy system. This allows you to come into a state of presence, connectedness, and calm while keeping one activity from blurring into the next. Visit www.wellnessinharmony.com to learn how Linda's work can help support you to overcome conscious barriers and begin to make lasting, sustainable change in your life. Register for a private consultation and sign up for our free monthly teleseries, Connections of the Heart. Again, visit www.wellnessinharmony.com. Stay tuned for your next inner transformation tip.
Thank you for joining me here tonight on Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour. My name is Jessie Ann Nichols-George, and I'm your hostess this evening. And the music you were listening to there at the beginning of the show is I Sense Your Presence. It's by Shemshai. And I want to extend a welcome, whether you're returning or whether you're joining us for the first time. I know we've got a little bit of both here on the air tonight. And we are now, by the way, streaming live in three additional places. We're streaming live from TalkStream Live, StreamFinder, and PEN, which is also known as Para Encounters Network. And I just want to welcome everybody that's listening through those channels as well. And I also appreciate tonight's sponsor, Linda Diffenbach, giving us some great tips here throughout the show. So definitely stay tuned for those as well as the rest of what we have coming up tonight. Now, here at Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour, I look at the different ways that compassion exists in our lives, how to remove our blocks, resistances, frustrations, and more. And some weeks I will be discussing different aspects of how compassion is in our life and how it affects our life and the different areas of compassion. And then some weeks I'm doing more exercises and practical implementations. And a lot of times, matter of fact, most of the times I have a guest on the show so that you can learn more about their work and the things that complement and work with compassion as well. And also I'm going to be highlighting different musical artists along the way. Last year I had Stephen Halpern and I had Peter Tater on, both Grammy nominees, and really great music there. You can always catch those shows in the archive, and we can look forward. I've got John Anderson that will be coming on. Some of you might remember him as the voice of Yes. And he'll be on later this year with us, as well as some other great guests that I'll be working on bringing on the show as well that are musical. So many great people to look forward to, including, of course, tonight's guest, Kelly Locke, got her on tonight, and she's going to be sharing her work with us. And in my own work, what I do is I focus on helping people find and use compassion in their everyday life. I've created the Genesis Clearing Statement, and if any of you have missed that, you can catch it in our archives. I've authored four books, the most recent being You, Me, Life, Dreams, and also the companion workbook to that. And also my first two books, Activating Compassion and its companion workbook as well. And in addition, I've created the Compassion Tour, a multi-state nationwide tour, including workshops, retreats, seminars, book signings, fundraising events, and you can actually follow all the events that are coming up. I've got some great events listed in the Southern California area, or not Southern California, I'm in Southern California right now, but in the Southern Utah area, and those are starting, the first one is actually starting coming up later this month on right around the spring equinox time. So I also want to mention a special thank you out there to Mystic Merchant, who hosted me today doing a book signing there. And looking forward to some other events that I've got going on as well this weekend. Bridging Heaven and Earth, thank you very much for bringing me in to do a taping with you tomorrow. And Greg Friedman, who is having me on Any Journey Radio this upcoming Sunday. And then, of course, Romelia, thank you so much for hosting me as well in Monrovia. We're doing a Satsang event, so if you're in any of those areas, the Satsang event is a donation-only event, so you're welcome to come and enjoy it. It's from 1 to 3. It's in the Monrovia, City of Monrovia Community Center, and you'll find that information on my website with the actual address and things there, so you can look that up. So it's an absolute pleasure to do that. And as I said, I am broadcasting from a beautiful, beautiful, incredible, magical place in Santa Barbara, thanks to Adam Hall, who some of you might have remembered. Adam, he was a guest of mine last year, I think it was around May, and you can catch his stuff. He does some wonderful things with Earth Keepers, and he is working on undeveloping work, so that was a very fascinating show, and you can definitely go back and catch it there. So hopefully I'm coming in clear to you tonight. It's been a very exciting trip and evening, and I'm feeling very, very blessed. And a lot of you know I like to oftentimes bring in the work of Yehuda Berg, and I have to say I'm sorry I don't have that for you tonight because I went off and left that little piece of things in my car, and so we'll be back with Yehuda's messages next week and bring him in. But he deals with taking those big concepts and bringing them into everyday language. So what we'll do is we'll just keep moving along in the show anyways and get you a little insight to get you ready for what our guest has to talk about tonight, because this is the whole very interesting thing. As those of you know, I like to ride with the seasons. I find that very, very important. And tonight's guest is no exception to that. We're going to be bringing her on as we come into spring. We have a lot of allergies and things that come up and people that start to deal with some of those migraines. And she's going to show us some great remedy for some of these things in talking about her work. So I want to also say thanks to the people out there in the chat room who are here and supporting me as well. Now let's kind of get you prepped up here for our guest tonight and take a look, give you a little something to think about before we bring her on. Have you ever thought you just couldn't keep going because you were feeling rough? Have you ever found that taking a walk clears your head and provides more energy? Have you ever used nature as a means to heal yourself? As allergy season starts to take effect during the upcoming weeks, many people will start to get the foggy brain vibe going on. There may be sniffles, coughs, and feeling a lack of energy as our bodies adapt to the upcoming season. Now, personally, I don't believe that this is all related to seasonal changes. Let's face it, daily habits such as nutrition, exercise, rest, stress levels all play a part here. However, there are many that do well until the seasons change. It is amazing how a small thing like a scratchy throat, stuffed up sinuses, or a headache can stop even the strongest guy in their tracks. And oftentimes these symptoms can leave us dazed or out of it. When these small things come into play, they can have big impacts on not only our body, but also our mind and our spirit. Have you ever tried to concentrate with a headache? For most of us, we just don't, want to do anything. We just want to crawl into bed, forget about the world, and, disappear for a while. It becomes hard to think. And meditation becomes difficult because the throbbing in our heads distracts us. And when your head is spinning, who really feels like going to Zumba or doing other workouts? Kelly Lott is someone who has developed a unique system just for handling such things, and it incorporates the use of nature through cold stone therapy practices. I myself know there is nothing more soothing than using rocks and earth to help me back into connection with spirit. Let's face it. The more disconnected we are, the harder it can be to heal ourselves. But the connection with spirit creates an automatic flow of healing energy. I think of all the remedies that we turn to when our symptoms come up. But oftentimes, looking at what the earth and nature is providing us can also oftentimes give the best solution. Many have claimed wonders by using honey and cinnamon a few weeks at the turning of the seasons to keep from getting sick. Hot lemon water has been used for ages. However, few take the time to simply connect with nature and earth rocks. I don't know, if I could count the number of times that holding stones or rocks in my hand brought an almost immediate balancing of my energy and relief to whatever I was dealing with. Perhaps it just gives the mind something other than the pain to focus on. Perhaps our body is just crying for a pause or a little care and attention. Oftentimes I find when there are physical issues creating these symptoms that it will also block our energy flow and thus interrupt some of the ability to tap into the peacefulness that we normally can get to. Have you worked with the earth for healing? Are you open to exploring a simple connection instead of pills for getting past your symptoms? Could it be that by holding a pair of rocks, we are not just distracting our mind, but actually receiving treatment based on acupressure or other holistic options? This week, our guest focuses on a component of compassion that is related to the aspect in my book, Loving Self. This reminds us that we need to make certain we are finding healthy ways to take care of ourselves so that we can remain healthy and happy. I'm going to take a short break, and when I return, I'm going to have Kelly Lott with us, and she's going to be sharing her work in cold stone migraine therapy. And the song that I've got for you during our break tonight is called Dia Harmonies. It's by Claire Hedin. And if you'd like to find out more about her or connect with more of her music, you can do so at www.clairehedin.com. And for those of you that can't see that at the bottom of our show description, you'll find that as www.clairehedin.com. And we'll be back in just a few minutes.
Oh, dear, dear little light, shine forth thy beauty. You came, you went, 'twas brief and rare. We loved you, and we love you. So thank you, yes, thank you. We thank you, oh, so deeply. And thank you, yes, thank you. We thank you for your visit. We know your time with us was brief, but still 'twas time well valued. You have a place in hearts and minds down here on earthly fallows. Your light will shine and dust you will upon the skies of spirit. We learn, we love, we touch, we part, we feel the circle's healing. So thank you, yes, thank you. We thank you, oh, so deeply. And thank you, yes, thank you. We thank you for your visit. Oh, dear, dear little light, shine forth thy beauty. You came, you went, 'twas brief and rare. We loved you and we love you. So thank you, yes, thank you, dear, dear, sweet in spirit. And thank you, yes, thank you, we thank you for your visit.
Hi. This is Linda Diefenbach with your second inner transformation tip. Do you sometimes feel as though you lose yourself in your relationships? Begin creating clear, healthy boundaries in your relationships. Get clear on what you need to feel safe in the relationship, and then clearly communicate and advocate for your needs, letting the other person know exactly what those needs are. Practice this in all your relationships, not just the romantic ones. Visit www.wellnessinharmony.com to learn how Linda's work can help support you to overcome conscious barriers and begin to make lasting, sustainable change in your life. register for a private consultation, and sign up for our free monthly teleseries, Connections of the Heart, at www.wellnessinharmony.com. Stay tuned for your third inner transformation tip of the evening.
And welcome back. You are listening to Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour. My name is Jessie Ann Nichols-George, and I'm your hostess this evening. You were just listening to a song by Claire Hedin called Dia Harmonies. And again, you can check out her work at www.clairehedin.com. That's C-L-A-R-E-H-E-D-I-N.com. And also a special thanks as well to Linda Diefenbach for being our show's sponsor tonight. Now, I would like to bring up my guest tonight, Kelly Lott, and she was voted into the Hall of Fame for the World Massage Festival, nationwide certified massage instructor through the National Certification Board for Therapeutic Massage and Body Work. She graduated from the Chicago School of Massage in 1991 and has over 22 years of professional experience. Kelly has an extensive background teaching with her proprietary product, Migraine Miracle, and the Cold Stone Therapy for migraine headaches. In addition, she has experience with pregnancy massage, infant massage, face toning, and spa treatment. Kelly is also a doula and has helped to birth 10 beautiful children. In September of 2013, Kelly presented Migraine Miracle at the National Conference of the American Massage Therapy Association. And we're looking at her work tonight with the Migraine Miracle, and you can learn more about Kelly and the work that she is doing at www.migrainemiracle.com/index.php. And I'm going to go ahead and get her microphone opened up here tonight. And welcome, Kelly, to Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour.
Thank you very much for having me. Very happy to be here.
It's a pleasure, and I appreciate you giving us your time tonight and being here and being with us. And, you know, as I told Kelly earlier, I said I'm broadcasting from the road. So if I'm not being quite as clear as normal, it's probably true because I'm working with my cell phone tonight instead of my landline. So, but we're going to focus on Kelly's work here tonight. And Kelly, I'm hoping that you can start off by sharing with us a little bit about your journey. What brought you, you know, who are you and what brought you into this work with cold stone therapy and migraines and that work?
Well, it's a magical story for me how that got started. I wasn't expecting it. I've been in the massage arena for about 23 years. And really my whole focus was on pregnant women and infant massage and helping sick babies in the NICU unit and massaging little ones to try to get them home early. That really was my focus. And during my practice, I really did not have a lot of clientele that had the migraines. So at that time, it really wasn't in part of my practice. About 7 years ago, 7.5 years ago, I lost my mother, who was so very dear to me, my best friend, and it was very hard. I grieved for quite a while. And right after she passed, I was watching a TV show with my husband, and it was an interview with an esthetician in the Dallas area who had a lot of clientele, ladies that would come in with migraines, and they would ask her, do you have anything really cold that you could put on my head or my face? And what she had was those eye gel packs, and you can get those pretty cool. And she would lay that on there, but she commented that the packs would not stay cold enough long enough. And I just remember sitting there and watching, and I said to my husband, I said, you know, I wonder if marble or granite would work well, because I know with marble you can make ice cream on it. You know, it's very, very cold. And in my massage, I, of course, always work with hot stones. And I thought, I wonder if that would work with cold stones. And I just, you know, thought about that. And he said, no, that's an interesting idea. That's a good idea. Well, I really felt my mother so strong after that, I really think she sent me this idea because I never could get it out of my head. You know, sometimes you have an idea or whatever, and then you move on. But this is something that I just, it wouldn't let go of me. So I've thought of her so much from the beginning of that. And so I decided to look into this and see if there's anything out there like it, and there wasn't. And the more I thought about it, I really wanted to go into research about migraines. I mean, I've heard of migraines, and I know people who have had migraines, but I've never personally had one. So I went into big-time research and looked up what is a migraine, what does it do, how does it react, you know, who gets them, all that. Well, I was really shocked about how many people have migraines. There's over like 50 million people in the United States alone that are documented that go to the doctors with migraines. And it just seems like everybody knows somebody who has migraines. But the cause is what I was looking for, and they still don't know why people have migraines, but they know what gives migraines, the triggers. So I just got really interested in the subject and really dove in and found out what I could. And then I thought, well, because of what I know with the cold marble, and I know that the blood vessels in your body, in your head, your neck, and in your brain, they swell during a migraine. I thought if I could lay natural marble stones strategically at different places, that would help with that pounding pain. And I found out that the stones would need to be pure, not polished, and they needed to be 36 degrees cold. And at 36 degrees, that is what decreases the blood vessel swelling. And I thought that was very interesting. So I started looking for somebody to make me very specific shapes to fit the face and the eyes and the sinus and your occiput, which is the back of your head, right where your neck meets your head. That's where people tell me all the time, and in the temples, that the blood just seems like it's screaming into your head. And I had a hard time finding a stone maker that could make me marble stones that small. Marble stone makers are usually, they make marble floors or countertops or sinks or something like that. So, but I was not to be deterred. I was going to keep looking, and I finally found a stone maker that would make me my stones. And so they are lovingly made by hand and hand-carved because they're so small in certain areas that there's no way a machine could do it, which makes me happy because I like it being more natural. So that got started there, and then I met a certified aromatherapist, and I told her what I wanted to do, and she said that we could make very specific blends for migraines. And in my research, I found that the top four kinds of migraines that people commonly suffer from come from food allergies, environmental agitation, stress, anxiety, and caffeine addiction, and hormonal imbalance. And that's not to say that's all the reasons that people get migraines, but they seem to be very common when I have done my research. So my aromatherapist made blends for me, completely natural and made with jojoba oil, to help with the specific migraines. And if your audience knows about aromatherapy and essential oils, that you know our strongest sense is our sense of smell. Like if you're walking by and somebody's making fresh bread or fresh cookies or something like that and you smell that and your brain immediately says, oh, I love that, I need a cookie right now. That's aromatherapy. And if you breathe in the right aromatherapy, that calms you, that calms the brain, it brings you into balance. So I thought if I combine those two, that once you breathe in the aromatherapy, the right one, and your body will know which one that it wants, the one that, when you smell each blend, the one that brings you the most comfort. That's the way your body telling you, I need this. If you don't care for the smell, then your body says, no, I don't need that. So I start off with that. I start off with like a pressure point massage and just releasing certain areas of the head, just trying to calm. And then we breathe the aromatherapy, which starts to calm the brain. It'll actually change the physiology of your headache. So within seconds to minutes, you're already feeling calmer. And then after that, we add the cold stones, which I keep at 36 degrees, and I apply that to the areas of the face and the head, and that starts to shrink down the blood vessels and calms that down. And the two of them together, that would take care of you neurologically and physiologically, and it brings you calm. And this was my theory, and I really wanted to see if it would work. And I started going out there and talking with migraineurs and saying, can I try this on you and let me know what you think? When you feel a migraine coming on, let's get together and I'll try this. And it worked, and it was absolutely the most astonishing thing. An idea, like I said, that came to my head and it wouldn't let go. And I've been developing it for the last 7 years, better and better and better, and listening to more and more migraineurs. And I've developed a really nice treatment that has helped a lot of people.
Well, and that's interesting because you bring a perspective that we don't normally see when people are going into things like that, which is you're coming from a place of not having the experience for
yes.
what you're creating for.
Yes.
Whereas a lot of people go into something, for example, because they had an issue or a challenge in their life and they found a solution to that and then brought it forward. So this is actually, I think, a great learning thing for people to realize how you can actually go about doing something even if you don't have that direct experience there.
I was surprised at myself, to be honest. I think I really had a lot of guidance, and I couldn't let it go, and I think there is a big reason for it. I don't question it anymore. I just accept it, and I have had the most amazing results from people that are coming to me and giving me testimonials, and people that have had migraines for 15 years and don't have them anymore. And the trick is, which has been a good challenge for me, is to try to figure out why people have migraines and then why are there people that don't have migraines. I think there is a genetics thing to it. I've met many women. We are about 3 to 1 women get migraines over men. And a lot of women have it all in the family, from the great-grandmother all the way down to the great-granddaughters. And so I feel like it's a genetic. And then there are some families that it skips a generation, and I think that has to do with who you marry and have children with, and you bring in somebody else with that. If you marry someone that there is, I call it the migraine gene, but that's, I made that up. But anyway, if they have it, then their children seem to have it. But every time I try to nail it down, because I'm one of those kind of people, I'd say, aha, okay, this is it, then I would be wrong, because everybody suffers with their migraines differently. It's very individualistic. So I keep learning, and it keeps me humble, and I try to go with what people tell me and adapt and try to help them. But the key is if we can figure out why are you getting these migraines, and if we can go back to the food environment, stress and hormones, food allergies is very high on the list, and I think it has a lot to do with how food is processed these days. children are coming up more and more with migraines. And I think, again, it's how the food is processed. Environmental agitation is really anything like you were talking about, spring is coming and so many people are very agitated with the spring and all of that. And I have a friend whose husband works in a GM factory, and you can imagine the noise and the flashing lights and things like that, and it would give him migraines. So that's like anything in your environment that your body does not like. So it reacts very strongly. It's like you're under attack. Stress and anxiety, who doesn't have that? But not everybody who has stress gets migraines. You could have high trauma in your life, and you can become migraines. Like our men that are coming back from Afghanistan and Iraq with that, a lot of them are coming home with migraines, post-traumatic stress, PTSD, brain damage, things like that, the noise, they suffer. And then hormonally, that's very interesting. About 70% of women have hormonal migraines, and they know when their period is coming, they will feel that about 24 to 48 hours prior to that. And they have a lot of the symptoms, you know, PMS, they gave it a label for. But many of them would have terrible, terrible headaches with that. And what I found in my research is it's because of estrogen levels. Some women make more hormones than other women. So when it starts to build for you to possibly become pregnant, you are very much higher with estrogen and progesterone. And then when you don't become pregnant, it drops. And when it drops, it seems to drop hard, and that's when the migraines come. Now, those are the easiest ones to help because if their cycle is about every 28 days, then you would come in about every 26 to 27 days, and we start doing the treatment. And it has helped so many women get more hormonally balanced so you don't have that real high and real low. And that's what I found.
That's interesting. And I have to wonder, too, because I know oftentimes migraines seem to be related to things that are happening with our eyes. My mom is one of those people that really has been challenged with migraines all of her life. Very, very extreme, severe ones. Involved in that. And I've had stuff from time to time, but I have to think, too, in the environmental realm that all the time that people spend in front of computers and on cell phones and things like that, that would have to be also a part of a increase in migraines. Because I know when I was in college, I did a study, for example, on being in the natural environment and how that would restore our senses. And a lot of times after being in a natural environment, the eyes get a certain kind of rest and they need to see lots of browns and greens. And when they do, people tend not to have as many problems with that. So it's one of those things that I have to think, you know, the trigger in the eyes when we're looking at a computer screen all day, it stresses the eyes out. And
absolutely. They call that ocular migraines, which is sounds like what your mother has with that, and they are so sensitive to light. Many migraineurs cannot even stand to have their picture taken because of the flash. If it hits their eyes, it can trigger a migraine. Absolutely with computer because people are on it for hours and hours at a time and don't remember to take a break. The name of air traffic controllers, you know, that look at computers in the dark, they have a high rate of migraines. So you're right.
Mm-hmm. And I'm getting some confirmation in the chat room here, too. I've got somebody that mentioned, yes, I had the worst migraine that last period 2 weeks before she fell pregnant in there. So there's definitely, you know, connection there. And I have somebody else mentioning I do not like reading only on the computer. You know, there's like a page, and there is definitely something to that. And of course, we think of all the, you know, electromagnetic frequencies, which is where I was thinking with all the electronics now, and kids stay inside, and they're on the computers, and they're on the phones all the time, and they're not getting both the break for their eyes as well as that environmental thrust of the electronics.
You are right. Absolutely. We have to give ourselves a rest. And I know that it's hard because maybe you have projects or something, but every hour you really need to get up and go get some natural light. And sometimes we have to, people have to work in those awful offices with the neon lights. That gives me a headache within minutes, personally. And that's awfully hard on people.
Well, I also did a study on that in college.
Yes.
Which was related to the way it stresses us out. And, of course, we went to a lot of those fluorescent lights to improve so-called productivity. But what they weren't counting on is the burnout factor from those lights. And the way they stressed it actually ended up making people sicker because they were breaking down their bodies, which then caused greater sick time or time off of work as opposed to really making them more productive in there. So, yeah, there's definitely something to that. You can't help when your body starts getting stressed. The tenseness goes there. Your oxygen levels are shutting down. There's just no question about that. And I'm glad because one of my questions was about the four types of migraines, so I was glad you just kind of went there.
And, I jumped ahead.
You did. And you gave me even, you know, this greater information. Definitely with that tie-in to the hormones, you know, I can see that. And that's not limited just to women that are in their menstruating cycle, I would say, but also those as they go into menopause because of the fluctuating hormonal drop-offs.
That's completely right. And one thing that migraineer women tell me is it took all the way to menopause when we stopped making so much of the hormone, and that the migraines either got so much better or finally were gone. And that made me very sad because that's a long time to wait to go migraine-free. And it's so debilitating. I mean, you lose a lot of time in your life, your family, your work. Can you imagine? I mean, if you were to have to tell your boss, well, every month I won't be able to come to work for 2 or 3 days because of this. You know, it's a lot of stress and a lot of worry. But that's what kept me going is because it is so debilitating. I wanted to see if I could figure out a way to prevent them. Because migraineurs know the symptoms when they're coming. And that's the time to act with that, because if you wait too long, then it's too late. You can't talk your way out of a migraine. I wish you could.
I wish you could, too.
Wouldn't that be nice?
My mom knows it. You know, I can tell you right now, my mom wishes she could talk herself out of a migraine.
Yes, you can do anything, absolutely anything.
And you're so right about that. The people that deal with this on an ongoing level, you know, definitely they know when these things are coming on. And I remember with her, you know, she would just have to go to bed like she couldn't handle any light or things like that. It was just so intense. And
no sound, no touch.
Yes.
Cool room, yes.
Everything got very, very sensitive. And I wanted to bring you on this time of year because we are getting ready, half of the U.S. is already blooming because they've been warmer than normal, even though the other half has been colder than normal.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're really going to probably, in a lot of areas, actually get an early blossoming and blooming. And I'm seeing that on some of my trees at home. Things are starting to react as if it's already here. And it's kind of like, geez, we're barely into the first week of March.
Yeah.
So I feel like this is an important thing because of those seasonal allergies. And, of course, you mentioned the food allergies, which is a big, mm-hmm. big key in all of this as well. We see that definitely as and that's another one of those things. We've talked about it on other shows, though. When we get back to those local organic GMO pesticide-free foods, mm-hmm. people tend not to get these aggravations going on.
Right.
Their body tends to hold a little better with that. So I find it interesting that you chose marble in using this. Now, did you do some sort of extensive research there that said marble is that stone that's going to stay cold out of all the stone possibilities out there?
The only thing I can tell you is it is an idea that came to me to try marble and granite. And I tried granite, but it was too brittle to make it in the small pieces, so it just was too fragile. And I have been very drawn to marble. I love the feel of marble in my hands. I love the feel of stones in my hands. I was listening to you earlier about that, and it comes from the earth. And I've mm-hmm. always felt better. I've been very drawn to obsidian stone, too. I just love the feel of that in my hands. And I just knew that marble was right, and I knew it needed to be porous so it would hold the cold longer. And I don't know. I can't explain it. I just knew it.
Well, I find it very interesting because marble, when we look at marble energetically, and there's so many different forms of marble, but marble has a few different things to it. It has a very grounding energy on one hand.
Mm-hmm.
It is very purifying and detoxifying,
yeah.
energetically, which is fascinating. And it has an energy that brings about harmony and balance.
Yes.
And, of course, anytime we're dealing with pain, things are out of balance. And we need the grounding, even though we're grounding now to the divine as opposed to just the earth, we need that grounding factor to help us out. And I think for some of those people that don't understand migraines, I mean, part of what it equates to is, you know, you've got a whole, it's like something hurts, so your blood is naturally rushing to that area to heal. But
yes.
instead of getting to that area, it's like having it pinched off so it can't get in there. And so it builds up and it creates more pressure.
Yes.
In that system, so it creates more pain and things like that. You know, last week we had somebody on talking about scarring and how we can get these different pains in one area, but the issue might actually be in another area, and that's another reason why I like the fact that you use marble, because mm-hmm. a lot of times one thing I learned many years ago is that our sinuses are actually related to our root chakra.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another interesting parallel in your work, being that there's a big hormonal relation there. In addition to that, so, you know, we could actually be having something going on in the root chakra that is creating a migraine for us. But
I would
agree
with
that. We can also treat the root.
Mm-hmm. I would agree with that. I think what I have found, my most popular stone I call my half moon, and I had it shaped as a beautiful curve to it that will fit the back of your head right there where your neck meets your head. And that is everybody's favorite that has migraines. And I love to use that and traction their neck with it. And it puts everybody into what I call a still point, just what you were talking about. It just levels you out. It balances you out. And I have had people tell me they go into such a deep meditation sleep with that. And I think it just finally, it allows you to let go, too, because pain is so debilitating. Sometimes you get so tense till you hold on to the pain, And sometimes mm-hmm. they're afraid to let go. But when it does, and they trust that it's, you know, it's okay, it is absolutely fabulous. I call it a reboot. It's we're like a computer like that. It's my theory is that whatever it is that's agitating you to the point where your blood vessels are wide open and you feel like you need to run or scream or jump out of your skin, whatever it is, your body does not like it. And if you don't take care of it, it eventually will send you to bed. You no light, no sound, no nothing. You need no overload, any sensory overload. And you need to go and do a reboot. And that's when you eventually, when you come through it, then you can function again and go on. But that, what this is this takes care of it before that, before you have to go to bed and be gone for 2 days. So you do your reboot sooner, if that makes sense.
Yes. Yes, it definitely does. And that's kind of like, it's almost like learning how to cut yourself off from eating before you overeat.
Yes.
In a way.
Be open to the
process. Before you hit that really unpleasant stage, stop.
Yes,
in there.
You do. But you do have to be open to the process with it. Because if you are a person that's never had massage before or ever heard of aromatherapy, it might sound kind of strange that I'm going to put rocks on your head, you know, and you're going to do what? And I'm going to make them really cold, like 36 degrees. And then here, I want you to smell this vial. You know, that might sound a little strange, especially if you've only had experience with maybe prescription drugs or something like that. So you do have to be more open to a more natural way, and it takes longer than taking a pill, that's for sure. But you need to go lay down and stop and rest. And sometimes, there's a lot of education in this to try to explain it to people.
Right. And, you know, the interesting thing, though, is sometimes we think we're getting that quick fix with with a pill or something like that. But in reality, it still takes a good 20 to 30 minutes for a lot of those pills to work. And even then, you're still having to stop and, take time out and go rest and sleep. And it's still several hours. So if you can do a process like this, I mean, I think in a lot of ways, it's actually less time.
It is in the long run, because you can get up from this treatment and go back to work. And you're right, there's a lot of drugs that are out there that people cannot function. They shouldn't drive. They don't feel right, you know, in their head. They don't feel like themselves. And you still do check out for a couple of days. Maybe the pain isn't there, but you still don't feel well. And, we're very busy people. We got to keep going.
Well, I would say that there's got to be, there's probably some people out there that are questioning some things as well, saying, well, isn't this kind of a quick fix thing? Like, aren't we just treating the symptom instead of really looking at the root cause?
Yes and yes. This is meant to help prevent it, but we do need to figure out why you're doing this. And that's why my aromatherapy comes in to help me, because I have many people that say, I have no idea why I get migraines. Some people are crystal clear why they do, so that's easy for me. But if they don't know, then I have them start breathing from each blend one at a time, very slowly. And I don't tell them which one it is. I don't try to suggest. I don't do any of that. So I let them breathe. And the one that they find the most comfort in, the one that they take big, deep breaths with, I can tell right away. If they frown, I know that's not for them. If they take the big, deep breath, and then I look at what it is, and that gives me a good clue. Let's say they gravitated towards the food. And I will say to them, you may want to have your food allergies taken and see if you're eating something that is causing you this pain. Same thing with environment. You know, what? Tell me what you do for a living. Where do you work? What kind of stress do you have? Do you work outside and you have asthma or something? You know, anything like that. I just ask a lot of questions. And it's been so interesting because it's like a light bulb goes off and they go, oh, my gosh, I never thought of that. And that, a lot of times, we can find the root of it. Now, some people like more than one blend, which tells me that there is, you know, maybe two or three things going on that is agitating you. I had a really interesting client, young girl, about, I think she's 22 or 25 years old, and by every Friday night, she had a migraine from work. She worked on the computer, and she'd spend all weekend in bed and then go back to work on Monday, and then by Friday, she'd have it again. So I was thinking maybe hormonally or something in her environment. So she didn't know. I started handing her the blends, and she didn't like any of them until I handed her the food blend. And she took it from me and just brought it to her nose. Her eyes popped open, and she said, oh, my God, fish. And I said, fish, what does that mean? Well, her desk was right outside the break room, and on Fridays, people would go in and would reheat or cook fish. And she is horribly allergic to fish and shellfish, anything. So she would smell this every Friday. But she never put it together. It never occurred to her. So as soon as we figured that out, then I said, tell your boss you need to move on the opposite end of that building. Get away from that break room. And then keep this food blend with you always. And she would put it on, the aromatherapy, on her pulse points on her wrist, and she'd put it above her lip so she was constantly breathing it in, and this would keep her balanced. But see, you know, who'd have thunk? You know, a fish migraine. You know?
Right. Right, exactly. You know, and that's a really huge thing. Our bodies do tend to know, so I'm really glad that you use that approach with people, because I think too often, you know, people say, well, here, you've got to take this oil or work with this scent or things like that, and we never know, I think sometimes, unless you really get to know that client, what might be stressing them, what might be a trigger, what might be... you know, trigger a PTSD episode or something like that.
Right, right.
There's some things there, but our body naturally knows what it needs, and it will
find it
at that time, just like we find certain sounds pleasing at different points in our life or certain types
right.
of music, these types of things. So coming at it from that approach, it's really the body telling you what somebody needs, and that's a wise approach to me to do that.
I thought so, because I didn't want people to think that I would presume what it is that you're doing. I take all the information in, and I can give it a good guess, but I always have the blends tell the story. And I don't look at which one I'm giving them either, and I tell them that. I said, we're both not going to look at this until we can see what you decide, and then we discuss it. And they're usually very surprised with that. But I had a client's child that was so horribly allergic to tomatoes that he would have these mind-blowing migraines where he would hit his head against the wall. He said, it hurts too bad, it hurts too bad. And with children, I always suggest that, please go have the food allergies taken, and it turned out to be tomatoes. Now, of course, there's tomatoes in everything, and this child was addicted to salsa, so he would eat salsa every day and the migraines, but nobody ever figured that out. His pediatrician didn't, you know, nobody even suggested, you you know, why don't we have his food allergies taken?
See, those are the things that we don't think about, because I have some allergies with that family. For example, I can't take the sulfa drugs and things. Matter of fact, I'm allergic to 3 out of 4 of the antibiotic families.
Right. So, okay.
They never enjoy having to give me something, you know, if I have to go that route. But fortunately, I haven't needed anything in many years. But it's those little things where we don't think about what could be related to that particular type of tomato. We're thinking, well, aren't tomatoes healthy? They're vegetables, they're, you know.
Right.
But we don't realize that there's some of those components in it that lead us to those points. And so, yeah, it is a humongously powerful realization. And, of course, for a lot of people, getting to that point, coming in somewhere where they can get that temporary relief from the cold stones while they're figuring out the rest of it, your process helping people identify, okay, because one time it could be food allergies and another time it could be stress-related things.
Absolutely. If you knew how many people are addicted to caffeine, I was pretty shocked about that. And that is what maintains people's migraines. Because I have people tell me, Kelly, when I feel it coming on, I will just go drink a Coke and it's gone. And I'll say, okay, I get that, but let me tell you what's happening. Caffeine is a muscle constrictor, so you will get that kind of a placebo. It will help to constrict the blood vessels, and you will get that relief. However, when you come off of that Coke, because it's loaded with sugar, and the caffeine comes out, you have caffeine withdrawal. So you get your headache back. Mm-hmm. And so people a lot of times will say, well, Kelly, I have to drink Coke from 7 in the morning till 11 at night, you know, which gives you all kinds of other problems.
Right.
But that's where they get that. Now, this is a perfect segue for a rebound headache. And people say, why do I keep getting these headaches back? Now, what happens is, like, if you go to the headaches or go to the store and go down the headache aisle, you've noticed how many there are. There must be 1,000 on there. And when most of them are made with acetaminophen, which is also a constrictor, it's caffeine. Okay? So you take whatever it is that's got that in there, and maybe you take Motrin migraine or Excedrin migraine, and it works for a while. Well, it works until it doesn't. Your brain gets used to that, and then you start getting your headaches back. So what do people do? They start taking too much, right? They'll take 2. They'll take 4. God forbid, they take 12. And to keep it away, well, every time you try to stop taking it, you get this rebound headache that's just horrible. So then people get addicted to that. So it kind of becomes a vicious cycle, and you can get very addicted to the prescription drugs that are out there for migraines. Terrible, and you can't get off because you keep getting the headaches.
Mm-hmm.
So I found that a lot.
This is really, really true, because I remember there was a point in my life where I was doing a lot of caffeine, and when I tried to stop that caffeine, I had some of the most intense migraine headaches ever.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, my goodness. Like, I couldn't tolerate it. I was like, I don't think I can tolerate this.
Right.
And once I got past it, I mean, it's kind of like, it's almost like withdrawing from drugs.
Yes, it is.
Once I got past it, I was okay. And I didn't totally make the connection at first. And then I hadn't done any caffeine for a while, and then I did some caffeine for a while. I was back to working some really crazy intense hours, and I was back to doing caffeine again.
Mm-hmm.
And then I tried to go off of it, and lo and behold, there were the migraines again. So, yeah, a lot of people, like you say, and I've seen it with people I know. It's like, well, you know, just take a little caffeine and it'll be okay. But when we look at the way caffeine works, I mean, it basically it's speeding up our heart rate. So what it's doing is it's getting the circulation pumping. So it's almost better to go eat some really hot and spicy food.
Yes, I agree.
It's healthy for you. You know, get yourself some ginger or peppers or something like that, and it will have the same effect because it's speeding up the heart rate, in a sense, which is another thing we have to be careful of because my experience is, too, that migraines can come from more serious problems, which can be related to heart problems, being on the edge of strokes. So when we take these caffeine things to try to resolve that, we could be pushing ourselves over the edge.
Oh, yes. Give yourself a heart attack. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Another thing I found very interesting in my research was MSG. And which we know all about that. I mean, it's loaded in salad bars, and I know a lot of people are very surprised to hear that because a salad bar would be very good for you. But if you're wanting to eat green food in a salad bar, it's got MSG. And what I found is migrainers are loaded with MSG. There's a what we have is glutamate that's in our brain, and I don't know why. I'm assuming it's genetics. But migrainers have too much glutamate. And so that is what excites the brain. So if you have something that already, you already naturally have your brain overexcited, and then you were to eat MSG, can you imagine what that does? And I have so many in the town. I went to an Asian buffet, which has a lot of MSG, or salad bar, and it was a mind-blowing migraine. So migrainers need to keep that in mind. Make sure, I mean, very, very sure, that the food that they eat does not have that, the MSG in it.
And I would not be thinking about that with greens.
Yes. Yes. I mean, you want to keep it crisp and green and you know, that looks good to the eye, they put MSG in it. But you got to ask.
Interesting. So is that something that you think maybe restaurants add as opposed to what you go and buy in the store?
Sure. Yeah, if food it needs to sit there for hours and hours at a time.
Oh, wow.
You know, I hadn't thought of that, but that's how. Because they'd have to throw out the food.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's definitely something to pay attention to if you're eating out someplace or doing a salad bar type of environment. And, of course, a lot of times, unfortunately, unless you really know the restaurant, they're not giving you organic greens.
No. Greens with other things on it.
So.
No, they're not. But, yeah, we do. If we know that, if we know we're a migrainer, that's just something that it just has to be in the forefront of your mind. How, you know, what is the food that you're going to be eating and how does it affect it? Because so many things can trigger it, like take alcohol for one. All dark alcohols, very prone to migraineurs. Dark red wines, what else, bourbons or... You know, anything of the dark liquor is very hard. I think it's the tannins. I'm sorry, I forgot the other word. But anyway, the preservatives that are in the wine, they have trouble. Cheese, like aged cheese, feta, your blue cheese, Parmesan, that can cause migraines. Chocolate does. Milk chocolate, but they say that dark chocolate is much better for you, but I've never met anybody yet that said they got out of a migraine with dark chocolate. But milk chocolate has caffeine in it, so that might make you feel better for a short while. But all kinds of things like that, you know, smells, cigarette smoke or chemical smell or perfumes, things like that. They're just extra sensitive people. have to be very careful.
And I think we have to look at those things carefully when we talk about that because, you know, our fermented foods, like our aged cheeses and things like this, can be very good. The difference comes, again, I think we really have to watch whether we're getting something that is toxic-free or not in those foods, if they're
mm-hmm.
really a more organic-based
yes.
thing, because we don't think about that, for example, with wine or hops or things like that. That
right.
are in the alcohol aspect in the sense that they're grapes and they're being grown in a massive amount. And
yeah.
if they're not on a organic level,
mm-hmm.
they're going to have pesticides on them.
Correct.
So that is that difference that we have to watch for in those tannin levels and stuff in there because, you know, obviously there's a lot of those foods that can be very healthy for people, but here again, where's the quality of the food? And then, of course, smoke is absolutely a big trigger. All of these little pieces with it. And like you say, chocolate is a caffeine, so there's pros
yep.
and cons on a nutritional level there. Again, it's what we're blending it with and what we're using. I make my own chocolate, but it's still got cocoa in it, and that's still got a caffeine factor to a certain extent.
Mm-hmm.
To it. You're not going to avoid that from the cocoa bean.
Right. Exactly. With migraine, they figured out pretty fast what doesn't work. And, you know, you can remember that. It's like, wow, when I ate that I had a migraine by that night. Or when I drank that wine or whatever it is. And
mm-hmm.
maybe you really enjoy your red wine, but you probably have to research that and go find somebody that makes wine with that organically and experiment it. But if you ask a migrainer to experiment knowing that they may get a migraine later, that's very difficult. So they usually have to walk away from something that they really enjoy.
And I have somebody mentioned in the chat room, one person mentioned the sulfites, which is in the red.
Yes. Wine. That was the word I was looking for. Thank you.
And somebody else mentioned that they take L-glutamine as a supplement, so they're finding this very interesting. And this is another part of the balance where, you know, we look at it and we say, okay, the fermented foods and stuff can be very, very good. However, if we get too much or if we're
yes.
not balancing water, and I think water is a – pure water is a key factor too because when you look at
yes. –
caffeine and you look at wines and you look at a lot of these different things, what they're doing is dehydrating the body.
Yes. That is such a good point. I can't tell you how many migraineurs I've talked to when I ask them, how much water do you drink per day? And it's almost none, you know, or they say,
mm-hmm.
well, I drink tea, you know, and that's a lot of water, but it's all caffeine.
I drink juice.
Yeah. And they go to bed with a dehydrated brain, and they wake
mm-hmm.
up in the morning with these migraines.
Mm-hmm.
Another interesting thing, when I talk with people, if they tell me that they wake up with migraines, I ask them three things. One is, do they know if they grind their teeth? A lot of migraineurs grind with that, and you may not know that if you sleep alone, but sometimes you can feel it. You know, your jaws are tight or your teeth hurt. And I ask them about their water intake. Do you drink water before you go to bed? Now, I think everybody should have a glass of water on their nightstand every night because if you wake up, like me, I wake up two or three times, you need to take a couple sips of water. Now, the other thing is I noticed that a lot of people are very low on serotonin, which is our sleep hormone. And if you're really low on that and dehydrated, you can and often will wake up with a migraine. And what I have suggested with people is to take a melatonin, one or two melatonin at night. And that has really helped a lot of my migrainers and increasing that water. And no caffeine. They do that.
None
you know
of that late-night caffeine.
They do that at night, at 10 o'clock at night, and they're drinking a couple Cokes. And I'm like, what? You know, how do you sleep?
I'm one of those people, I could put caffeine in me and be asleep in 5 minutes. So,
wow. Not me.
It doesn't affect me in that sense, but, you know, you still get that dehydration factor, and people that are at higher altitudes tend to dehydrate more, those sorts of things. I also have somebody saying honey is good for that as well. So, you know, honey late at night or something can help with some of those things. But the serotonin is an interesting factor, too. The environment that people are living in. For example, I've been spending the last few days on the coastal region of California, and the closer to the coastal regions you are, the less you tend to dehydrate, and that can be deceiving in its own right, because there's a lot of people that feel their skin hydrates more. They get that salt air that helps them hydrate, and yet they're not getting the water in them
that is
behind some things, and they might go, say, to a ski area, and then all of a sudden they're wondering why they're getting these headaches or they're getting different things.
I agree with that. I do. I agree with that. There's a lot of people who can't fly. They just can't do it. You know, you get about 30% less oxygen in airplanes, and I travel a lot, and I can attest to that. But many just can't do it. They can't go on roller coasters, you know, that extreme, you know, or fast or anything like riding in cars. If you have a fast peripheral vision, you know, cars are moving quickly, that can cause migraines. It's just not fun at all. It really affects your life.
So, you know, tell me, Kelly, how often, you created this great tool, how often do people need to use this, and how long does it take normally when they're working with these migraine stones to have an effect? I mean, most people, when they've got a migraine, they're just usually at that part that it's hard for them to cope with doing anything, and they're just,
Yes, to give me anything, please. That's a very good question. Well, it's a very good question because remember when I was saying everybody has a different kind of migraine? Mm-hmm. When I have, let's say, a new client and we try to figure out why, first what we do is we cut it off at the pass. That's the first thing we're going to do. And then when we do, then let's work together to see what it is that's bothering you. And maybe my aromatherapy helped us figure that out, but maybe it's a component of each. So what I have them do is to journal and keep, you know, a pad of paper with them at home or in their purse at work. And when you start getting those symptoms, write down exactly what were you just doing. What time of day? Maybe you went too long without food. That's a lot of it with migraineurs. You haven't had water for 12 hours. Very stressful situation, anything. What did you just eat? And we start journaling, and then we can start working on pinpointing it. Now, at that, what I'd like to have, when I had a client come to me, I would have her come, let's say, 2 or 3 times a week. And whenever these symptoms would come, start coming with that, and we're trying to figure out what it is, we would jump on it right away. And then as we're trying to figure this out, let's say it's a food allergy, whatever it is, and we either stop eating that food or weaning it off or trying to wean off caffeine, because this is not going to work. If you are addicted to caffeine, no matter how many, you could come every day, it's not going to fix the migraines, you know, because you're on this caffeine. That's a lot of it. So I try to do that at least 2 to 3 times a week, and then we start weaning down from there. If it's a hormonal, then we know every 26 days we're going to get together. That's easy. We know what that's about. And maybe stress is a precursor to that too. But I want people to know that they can do this treatment to themselves, because what if it happens at Sunday at 3 in the morning? You can't run to your massage therapist. And you need help yourself. So I am all about self-care. and you could keep your stones in your refrigerator so it's ready at all times. And if it's Sunday at 3 in the morning, you go grab those and you lay them on your head wherever it hurts, and that gets that pounding to stop. And then you can breathe from your aromatherapy, and you pick the one that you like the most, and you periodically just breathe that in. So it's a hard question to answer. How often? It's until we can figure out what's going on. You know, and okay. Sometimes we figure it out, and then they don't come back anymore, which is lovely.
And I'm glad that you brought up the fact that people can do this to themselves.
Oh, yes.
I think that's an important thing. Otherwise, people are thinking, well, shoot, Kelly, I'm never going to be able to take advantage of this.
Well, yeah, you have to have a massage therapist that is standing there ready with no clients. You know, come now. And that's
definitely
possible.
Being able to take care of this yourself is a huge thing, and a big thing with that aspect. Like you say, keeping it ready to go. Have you noticed with your clients and what you work with people, is there kind of a window of when the migraine kicks in from the trigger? Is it normally something that's happened within the last 3 hours or the last 24 hours? Or
that's another good question. I've had anywhere from within 4 hours to within 3 days. But
okay.
My theory is act now. Okay, when the symptoms are coming, act now. Now, maybe you're at work, okay, and you can bring your stones to work. If you've got a refrigerator, you can keep them there, or you can bring a little cooler, you know, and keep under your desk. And you can keep working, and you can grab a stone and put it on your forehead or behind your head just to get that to calm down. And you can grab your aromatherapy and put it on your pulse points on your wrist or above your lid, and you can just periodically breathe, you know, from your wrist, and you can kind of thwart it, you know, and hopefully you don't have to go home. Because many people just say, I can't see. A lot of people can't see out of one eye, you know, and that's very dangerous to go driving with that. So we try to, you know, act as soon as possible. And they know. I mean, they usually, you know, after knowing how many years they've had this, you know, within 6 to 12 hours, you're in bed. You're done. You know, mm-hmm. throwing up. And like your mom, you know, no light, no sound.
Yes. Yeah, and unfortunately, it's something that she's dealt with most of her life, and I think there's...
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
You know, lots of different pieces to that. That puzzle of things, as you say, and these people, too, that go out and they take whatever for their migraine, you know, especially where a lot of times dehydration is a factor
mm-hmm.
in this piece. I think it's really important for people to realize that every time you take one of those pills for your migraine, you're dehydrating your body further.
Yes. Yes.
And you're putting more
vicious cycle
in your system. So if
That's
you're
right.
got a migraine because you've got toxins in the system and you're dehydrated, taking that pill is only going to aggravate it.
Correct.
Yeah.
If you are a migrainer, and I mean, what you want most is that pain to stop, and that may help, that pill may help to stop the pain, but you still have the symptoms. It's not like it's magic and it's like it never happened. That's not how it works. I mean, you can still have the symptoms, the dizziness where you can't see, the nausea, wavy, squiggly lines when you're trying to look at something, your limbs feel numb and tingly. All those symptoms are not fun either. Maybe you don't have the pain, but it is possible to have a migraine without the pain, and that I found surprising too.
Interesting.
Yeah. You can have abdominal migraines. Children have those. Excruciating stomach pains. And
okay.
I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. That's kind of a newer thing for me to understand, too, a stomach migraine.
I know, you always think about your head.
Yeah, you think about, and that's the thing, you know, as we learned last week in our show, that you can have this pain going on in one area, but it's maybe actually another part of your body that's needing help. And this is particularly, we see this with the food allergies and things like that, where there's something happening in your digestive system, but you're feeling it as a migraine. In here. So I think that these are some really big keys for people to grasp, because I also know there's energetic things. I also know this is when we're dealing with migraines, your body's really saying, look, I need a break. I need a different environment. I need different food. I need something different. It's not doing it just to irritate you and make you miserable.
No.
It's trying to get your attention because it hasn't been able to get your attention in other ways.
Exactly. That's perfectly said. That's when what you have to do is you have to go to bed, and it forces you, whatever that is.
Right.
Yeah.
Forces you to take that break, get off the computer, or whatever else.
Right. But that's an extreme way to break. A lot of pain.
Is there anybody that should not be using this product of yours?
Well, I have to think about that. Diabetics, you know, they can't tell often with their circulation how hot or how cold things are. So I probably would not put the 36 degrees on them. I might warm that up a little bit. You can do this with, I ask this a lot, can pregnant women do this? And absolutely, I made sure that this aromatherapy was made to be safe for pregnant women. However, I have found that when women become pregnant, they become hormonally balanced, and often their migraines go away, and then they come back after the baby is born. With that. But sometimes what I like to do is on my pregnant ladies is I don't apply it to their face with that. I just hand them the vial and I just tell them, breathe in as you wish. And your body will tell you, okay, take another sniff. And that works beautifully. You can do this on children, but I would not put 36 degrees on children. I would say probably, 12 and under. But I can, warm them up in my hands a little bit. But they get great relief from that. Somebody who is quite ill, you know, if they're on a lot of medications, even though aromatherapy is pure and natural, it's still made with, plants, which is medicinal. And you're not quite sure how that would mix with somebody who is on a lot of medications. It could make them nauseous. I've had a couple people throw up real, real hard, but I have a theory on that. I think they needed to. They're so full of toxins from all these drugs. But I'm not a medical doctor, you know. I'm a massage therapist and who's done a lot of research in this, and I learned from my clients.
You bring
careful.
Up a good point in the fact that sometimes when we detox, we go through some of these unpleasant things when our body's working on getting rid of something, but we definitely need to differentiate there, and we need to pull it back and moderate it. And with the oils, it is important that they're a pure oil as opposed to a perfume. So even if somebody said, she's using this and this to create this blend. You can't just go out and buy the perfume things and create your own.
And that's a good point, too, because mine are made purely and naturally, and when people order them, I don't have them sitting on a shelf for, a year and a half with that. It's so important. Like if you were to go buy another brand that maybe a health food store and it's called a stress blend, that is not the same thing that I make. I make mine a lot stronger, because you need that to thwart a migraine with that. But yes, you really don't want to start mixing and things like that yourself, because it could make it worse, especially if it has perfume in it. Oh, trust me, that'll make it worse.
Yeah, the perfume is just adding more toxins,
chemicals,
to things. And unless you're a certified aromatherapist or really have a background in doing that, you know, I definitely don't be playing around.
That's right.
That arena.
Find something that works. and
you
stick
know,
with it.
You know, take advantage of something like this where you know the products are pure, where you know that they're organic and toxic-free in the base.
That's
And we had an aromatherapist on at the end of last year and really stressed that there's such a huge, gigantic difference that you could take one scent and it comes from this really high organic place and it heals, and you go out and you find a perfume version of that scent, and it hurts.
Yes. Yes, and a lot of times it's very expensive, too.
Well, and,
$200 an ounce, and it gives you migraines.
Yes. True.
Yes.
Very
true. You're right. Indeed.
Now, Kelly, what do people learn, for example? You do some workshops for this. And, you know, what do they learn when they go and take a workshop from you? And, you know, do they need to attend more than one to learn how to do this? Or
No, I teach massage therapists all around the country. In fact, a week from today, I'll be in Denver, hoping the weather will let me get in. But I'm going to be teaching a massage therapist there, and then Chicago and Minnesota and Virginia. So I go to many, many places, and I'm trying to teach as many people as I can. It's usually a 4 to 6 hour workshop, and I talk to them for a good couple hours about my theory, you know, of migraines. And many of my therapists are migrainers and or have a lot of clients who are migraineurs, so they're very interested in the subject. And because if you're like me, I want to find out why. Okay, yes, we cut this one off, but why, you know? So I talk about that, and then I demonstrate the treatment, and then they get to practice with each other. They would give and receive, because I think that's very important, the hands-on with it, so you can really feel the marble and feel the aromatherapy, so that they can talk to their clients and let them know that they offer this. And I'm not kidding. I had 100 people come to the class that I taught at the national conference. That was my biggest conference. And it was amazing. I would say about 40% that took the class were migrainers. That's a lot. And they loved it. And I saw a lot of them on their phones, and they were emailing or texting to their clients that they were learning this treatment on migraines. I mean, they had appointments the next day. They put them on their Facebook page. I mean, people just gravitate for it. They're looking for this. They're looking for something different than the prescription. And it just has exploded.
I have to agree. I think too, the more and more people learn about where things are coming from and everything that's loaded with different toxins and things like that, that the more that they are looking for these natural remedies where they're not having to, you know, treat themselves with something that actually ends up hurting them more with things. And like I said, I mean, I know the energy of the stones and how that grounds us and things like that. It just naturally balances the energetic alignment out in the body. Now, does somebody need to go to a workshop to use your product?
No, not at all. I made a very nice, simple DVD that kind of shows you how to do it. But I tell people this all the time. All you need to know is put the stones where you hurt. You don't even have to put it the way, I have a diagram of my suggestions of where they go, but you don't even have to pay attention to that. You know where you hurt, that's where you put the stones. And all you have to do is you breathe the aromatherapy, and the one that you use, that you like the most, you can apply that to your pulse points. I mean, it is that simple with that.
That's
but I like to teach
simple.
Massage therapists how to help people figure out why,
mm-hmm.
which is a good reason to take the workshop.
Well, and I think, too, yes, when you have a massage therapist, and that's what I've said before, is oftentimes you're going to receive a lot more going to somebody and sitting back and fully receiving the treatment as opposed
yes.
to worrying about it. But what I
yes.
do like with your work is that it's, you know, while yes, I do believe very much in the acupressure points of the face and
yes.
what that does and how that makes a difference, on the other hand, I like that you can use the stuff without having to have it, you know, in this exact precise place.
Oh, yeah. Everybody reacts so differently. I didn't want it to be that way. Some people like you to tell me exactly what to do, and that's what I'll do. And then I have people say, let me just feel it, and that's what I like. You'll know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you have two spikes coming through your forehead, that's what you're going to do. You're going to put a big fat stone right on top of that. You know, you could lay down and put a towel underneath your neck, and you could slip the half moons right in between and just lay down on the floor, the bed, or the couch, and just let that do its work. And if you have a husband or a wife that's there, they could help you. You know, they could put some stones on or hold them like the top of your head or something like that. You know, a lot of people tell me that it feels like their head's going to blow off, you know, and
mm-hmm.
you put that really cold, thick stone on there and you push in. They love that, you know. Even putting it in their ears, which sounds strange, you can put cold marble in your ears, but it just cools down the inside of your head and your brain. It's just kind of gives you like a margarita freeze, you know. but it feels good.
I was going to say, I don't know, some of those brain freezes have not felt good to me.
They have not, but this does. Yeah, you don't want heat. That's one thing. Migraines do not want heat because your blood vessels are already wide open. We got to shrink them down.
Mm-hmm. It's like you need to take that swelling down.
That's right.
What you're doing
with
it.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's where it all started when I watched that esthetician who said that her clients kept asking, do you have anything cold, anything colder, cold, don't put a hot towel on me, don't, you know, none of that.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, your body knows what it wants.
Absolutely. Kelly, give us an idea. What do you have coming up in the way of events? How can people reach you? What have you got coming up? And you know, tell them where they can go get this product of yours.
Okay. Well, I am really excited to tell you I'm going to be on the Discovery Health Channel. I don't know if you've heard of Ed Begley. He has a show called He has a show called Innovations, and he's like the king of guru and green, natural. And they came to me and invited me to be on his show, and I'm just over the moon excited. They're coming next month to film me, and the show will be coming on this June. I just haven't received the date yet. So if you have a Discovery Health Channel, and check out the Ed Begley show. I will be on there. I think that'll be really nice because then I let a lot of people know about self-care and how to take care of that. So that's my biggest thing going on. But anybody can reach me at migrainemiracle.com, and I have a whole page of testimonials, some amazing stories. Please, I welcome you to take a look at those. I collect them all the time. I always ask people to let me know how they're doing with that. And I I'd love to, if you want to talk to me, you can always email me. And I have an 800 number. And I talk to a lot of people that they want me to just listen and see if we can figure out together why they're doing it and what some suggestions are. I'm always open to that. Just to have somebody listen to you, because not everybody understands migraines. If you've never had one, somebody might say, well, you know, take an aspirin, get over it. You know, and they're like, are you kidding? I wish. They just don't understand that this is, take a headache times 1,000. And I understand. So I welcome anybody to contact me. I'd be happy to talk to you.
That's really good to know, and absolutely, I say, you know, go on and check out Kelly's product here, because we don't have to sit there and just deal with this pain anymore. Yes, it's a process. Yes, we still need to discover the root cause of it,
right.
But as opposed to just taking something that's actually going to cause more headaches and more migraines and more issues and. Again, whether you're dealing with something seasonally or whether you're dealing with something on a longer term, bigger picture factor, or even just a seasonal part of life, so to say.
Yes. Stress.
I think it's, yeah, the stress these days, you know, again, if you, computer phases and all these different pieces that play in, and oftentimes I think that is the thing, if there is a combination of things at play, but you'll see how simple it is, and you'll get a chance, if you go on there, you'll actually be able to see what she's talking about with the crescent moons and the different stone shapes in there. Of course, as we know, that also has its own energetic influence. When we look at the moon, it gets us out of that left brain and into the right brain, and of course, a lot of migraines are more left brain focused. It's no from the left brain.
That's exactly right. My temple rounds are in the shape of the sun. So I have the sun and the moon.
So balancing of the male and the female, masculine, feminine energies there.
That's right.
I think that's really great too. So, yes, we've got these, she's got these different things. You can see it. You can see how simple it is. And those shapes definitely do. They do make a difference. I know that when I'm working with gemstones and crystals and doing layouts, the shapes do make a difference in the energy flow. And you've definitely, I would say, have put a lot of thought into this product.
Thank you. I have, and I wanted to, and I have felt the love of my mother through this whole thing. I think she really gave me a really good idea, and I thank her for it all the time and miss her terribly, but I feel her so strongly through this whole journey that I'm on with this. So there's a lot of love in this.
Do you have any final message or thought that you want to leave everybody with?
Well, I would like to tell people, especially if you are a migrainer and you're feeling pretty desperate and pretty low with that, I sure would like to try and help you, you know, to reach out and maybe I can send you some stones and see if that'll help. We'll, you know, stay together and talk, because once I do this with you, you know, I want to stay in touch with people. You know, this is about trying to self-heal with that. And maybe that part didn't work, and we'll try something else. So I think that's why I got into massage, because we like to help people. And this is the journey that I'm on right now, and I'm in it 110%. And I just want people to know that, and I'd like to help you.
Wonderful. Well, Kelly, we definitely appreciate you giving your time to us tonight, sharing with us what you're doing, because, you know, this is a big part of being compassionate with ourselves, and obviously if we're compassionate with ourselves, and we're going to be able to deal with other people much better in these situations.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I thank you for inviting me. It's just a real thrill. I'd love to be able to share and let people know. We can try and
help.
Wonderful. Wonderful. It's been exciting. Like I said, a little different here. And again, I encourage people to go right on over to Kelly's website. It's migrainemiracle.com. And check it out and see what it looks like over there. Next week on this show, we are going to have Madeline Souza, and she is going to be sharing her work in the original wave, called the original wave, what she's doing. And that's a look at how the mind-body is able to regenerate itself in the cellular level of the body. So I find these things are all very important to the seasons that we're going through, where we dealt with last week's guest with that kind of mind-body issue connection, and then Kelly on here with the migraines, because these things are all about helping us get through the seasons in a more compatible, easier way. And that's why I'm dealing with them right now, because this is a time that we get these triggers up. And we want to be able to move through them and have that strength going into the warmer months as that comes on for us everywhere. My books, by the way, in relationships have been released, and you can find the links to those and check them out, purchase them, as well as other things like videos and tips I do and monthly specials and events I have going on, all kinds of things. You can check all of that stuff out on my website, JessieAnnNicholsGeorge.com. And, of course, the books are designed to help you activate the perfect relationship for you, and you'll learn how to find, develop, and maintain your perfect relationship. You'll also learn how to understand what your partner is thinking, feeling, needing, and how to communicate in ways to strengthen your relationship and avoid drama. I do have books with me for those of you that are going to head over to the Monrovia event, Monrovia, California, or around the L.A. area, and you want to come check us out, what we've got going on there in Monrovia. I will have books with me as well if you want to purchase directly from me at that event. As I mentioned before, I've just released a series actually of 8 events going on that start on the spring equinox this year and culminate on Candlemas of 2015. And these events are really, really amazing. They are part of my monthly special, or I should say they are my March's special deal. And you can find out more about those events, by the way, at jessieannnicholsgeorge.eventbrite.com. And with these events, what this is that if you enroll in any of the seasonal events by the end of this month, the end of March, you can receive 25% off. You'll use the promotional code 2020, so that's 2020, for the following events, and that's creating a fire, releasing into success, supporting earth, encouraging childlike innocence, feeling air, insights of divine truth, eternal fire, embracing the light, knowing earth, receiving the resources, understanding the work, acquiring water, protecting the peace, healing earth, graceful synchronicity, envisioning air, lighting the way to unity. And again, all of those events can be registered for at jessieannnicholsgeorge.eventbrite.com. And that'll also give you a little more insight as to what we're going to be doing. These events are weekend events. You have 1 and 2 day options available with them. I run the events, by the way, no matter how many people sign up, whether it's 1 or 100 people, I run the events. So it's definitely worth checking that out. They're all based in the southern Utah area, which is near the Zion National Park area, by the way. So it's really beautiful, and it's integrative work where I'm incorporating being out in nature, and I can accommodate people of all different skill sets and physical capabilities and things like that as well. So I encourage you to definitely check those out. I also want to mention that we've got several shows here on Main Street Universe throughout the week. Sunday nights, we have Darren Bupere, who's a reader at Madame Laveau in New Orleans, doing spiritual insights. Monday nights is Randy Goldberg doing Vedic astrology. Tuesdays, we have Susan Weed, who is sharing her work in herbs and natural plants. Wednesday nights, we have Daniel, Janice, and Brett on our flagship show called Main Street Universe. Thursdays, we have Queen Mother Amaku looking at Egyptian culture. Friday evenings, Fridays early in the day, Kevin Barrett working with his Horizon Oracle Journeys deck. He's a psychic, and he's got a really interesting deck. He created it. You can learn more about his deck at templeofgaia.com. And, of course, we've got Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour, late night Friday night, early morning Saturday morning, depending on, you know, where you are and things like that. So that's an important thing. So definitely stay tuned. I will, you know, be broadcasting back from my own hometown next week as opposed to being on the road, and we've got many good guests coming up. Again, John Anderson will be coming up as well, and things too. My name is Jessie Ann Nichols-George, and again, you can definitely come see us in Monrovia on Sunday. If you're around, you're available in the area, I'd love to have you there at that event. And it is a donation basis event, so you know, if you really don't have the money, you can still show up and still attend if it's something that you really need to have. Thank you so much for being here, by the way, tonight. And thank you to all of you out there that have been listening, not only on Blog Talk Radio, but those streaming live on PEN or Pair Encounters Network, StreamFinder, and TalkStream Live, as well as those catching our podcast at iTunes, TuneIn.com, and also those catching the YouTube version of our show. Special thanks to tonight's sponsor, Linda Diffenbach, and stay tuned for her third tip of the evening. And I look forward to seeing you back here next week as we delve more into Activating Compassion. Don't forget that if you've enjoyed my show this evening, share it with others. It's going to be available at this same link in our archives. And I'm going to leave you tonight with that song, Yearning For, also known as Over and Over by Shumshy. Thank you so much, and I look forward to seeing you again next week, right here on Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour. May you enjoy the rest of your weekend and have an amazing week.
Hi, this is Linda Diefenbach with your third Inner Transformation Tip of the Evening. Do you often find yourself feeling overwhelmed and anxious? Start making time each day to do at least one thing that is fully and completely for you to nourish you and recharge your engine. You are important, and you deserve to be a top priority in your life. You already know this. Now is the time to take action. Are you ready to transform your life? Visit www.wellnessinharmony.com to learn how Linda's work can help support you to overcome conscious barriers and begin to make lasting, sustainable change in your life. You can register for a private consultation and sign up for our free monthly teleseries, Connections of the Heart. Visit www.wellnessandharmony.com for more information. Wish you all a blessed evening.
And if I could see what makes me blind, I would soar to the edge of my mind. And to touch what seems unreal, just to show you the way that I feel. And we are in time with time, one with the season of change inside. And we are in tune with the tune, caught in a balance of sun and moon. Oh, deep inside, the light within, shining to show you it's here to begin. When all I have is all I need, I will soar to the edge of eternity. And we see it eye to eye, one within love to be for the divine. And we're walking hand in hand, caught in the balance of God and man. Learning to walk just a little bit slower, whispering secrets, I bet you can't keep it. No turning back now, this time we reveal it. Once you are another, all will discover the essence within the most beautiful lover. Time is still turning, the love is still burning. Deep in your spirit, your heart still yearning for. edge of my mind when all we have is all we need. All that we ask for shall be received. And we see in eye to eye, one within love before the divine. And we're walking hand in hand, caught in the balance of God and man. And we are in time with time, one with the season of change in time. And we are in tune with the tune of life in circle and love in bloom. Over and over, life is your lover, learning to walk just a little bit slower. Whispering secrets, I bet you can't keep it. No turning back now, this time we reveal it. One to another, discover the essence within the most beautiful lover. Time is still turning, the love is still burning. Deep in your spirit, your heart is still yearning for. Over and over, life is your lover.